Grace, peace, and love be yours from the God who so loves our world. Amen. Last week, as many of you know, I had the opportunity to go back to my parents' house in Wisconsin. We were visiting after my grandfather had passed, and I was asked to preach at the funeral. Now, one of those days, after much jet lag, I decided to go on the TV and see what was on, hoping I would fall asleep during some mindless program. Now, I haven't had cable in a while, so I had no idea what was on the various stations. And I had the clicker, the remote in my hand, going through the stations and stumbled upon Undercover Boss. Have any of you seen the show? So for those who haven't, the premise of the show is a CEO of a multi-million or sometimes multi-billion dollar corporation leaves that position temporarily and experience what it's like for someone on the floor or someone who works in the warehouse or someone who works behind the counter. Now, this person goes in disguise, but at the end of the show, reveals who they were. So I thought about Undercover Boss as we read today's gospel reading. Today, Jesus and his disciples are yet again on a journey, traveling somewhere. And as they are going along, a man approaches Jesus and says, "Sir, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Keep the commandments," and then love them all. The man replies back with that he has kept the commandments. But then Jesus takes it a step further and says to him, "Sell and get rid of everything you own." Now the man goes away sad because he has many things. And I thought to myself, with Undercover Boss, there's always a difference between those who have so much and those who have so little. In Jesus' time, perhaps this financial disparity was more visible. If you were wealthy, you had a large home, multiple servants, perhaps multiple spouses. You even had lavish gardens. All of these were telltale signs that you were wealthy. In our time, most of our money is stocked away in stocks, in financial investments, and aren't always visible. But there is a disparity. So I decided to do some research. How wealthy is the world? So I went to Google, as I often do with these kind of questions, and I found out that there are currently 2,200 billionaires in this world. It's an all-time record high. So, in amongst all of these articles about these billionaires, I found an article by Money Magazine called How to Become a Billionaire by 65. I laughed and thought I was in the wrong career. And I recently read on one of those many, many articles, even if it was that one, that the CEO of Amazon has a record high net worth of $112 billion. So I decided to do the math. If I was going to become a billionaire by age 65, I might as well figure out how to do it. So, if a person is making $15 an hour at 40 hours a week for 52 weeks a year, for the entire year straight through, how many years does it take that person to make $1 billion? Who's got some guesses? 4,000? 5,000? Not 47? It would take that person 32,052 years. Clearly, they didn't read the article I read. But I thought about that, and I was thinking about how wealth and this gospel lesson go together. Does that mean that Jesus and God will deny eternal life to those who have wealth? Does this mean God will deny eternal life to those who have privilege and status that are society-given, not God-given? I don't think so. But it does remind me about the people Jesus primarily hung out with. Remember them from my very, very first sermon? The leftovers, the downtrodden, the outcasts, the ones who have been ostracized by society. But what does that mean for us who have financial resources? I don't think anyone here is among that 2,200 multi-billionaires. But we all can buy from companies that support fair wages and equal gender pay. We can support organizations that assist those on the margins of society. We can invest in companies that conduct life-furthering practices toward all creation, that work to end and combat climate change and not just protect human interests. Part of the point of this undercover boss show I was watching is for the CEO to experience an individual's life who are quote-unquote at the bottom of the company. However, at the end of the day, the CEO returns to their lifestyle, and most of the employees of the company aren't even affected by that person's undercover adventure. But I think what makes God in this circumstance is that God's experience on earth is transformative, not just for Jesus, but for all of us. Rather than exclude anyone from the dominion of God, God changes our rules and restrictions about who's in and who's out. And it's not about us writing our life or making it orderly so that God will accept it. It's not us trying to fit through that little needle. This morning at the 8 o'clock children, and I held up a little needle, and I asked them, how do we get through this? They had all of these ideas about shrinking ourselves, sliding in by the side, all of these ideas. And I reminded them, and in a way reminded myself, that we don't have to do anything to get to that needle. God stretches the needle out. We are woven as a beautiful fabric. Our multicolors, sexualities, genders, whatever our diversity might be, God takes all of that fabric and puts it through that needle and makes beautiful tapestries. Welcomes the richest and the poorest. And it isn't that welcoming, that going in through the needle together, that we are transformed in a way that we care about the needs of our neighbor, that we make sure that their needs are met, that they are receiving equal pay, regardless of their gender, and regardless of whatever circumstances they might have. Amen.